16. We are in Yechezkel. We are in Perek Mem Zayin, chapter 47. Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13. And now we're going to go back to something which had been mentioned briefly before, which is the division of Eretz Yisrael in the days of the third Beis HaMikdash, which will be completely different than the division in the days of Yehoshua. Whereas in the days of Yehoshua, the land was divided up according to the size of the tribes. If it was a larger tribe, they got more land. If it was a smaller tribe, they got less land. And Rashi also explains in Chumash that not only was it more or less land, it also depended on the quality of the land. Where if the land produced more, then it was considered more valuable. If it produced less, it was considered less valuable. So it was divided up in that way. So for instance, the tribe of Yehuda, which had a lot of people in it, ended up with a larger portion. The tribe of Dan ended up with a larger portion. The tribe of Menashe ended up with a larger portion. So while some of the other tribes ended up with relatively small portions. In the time of the third Beis HaMikdash, as we're going to learn, and we've already touched on before, it's going to be equal, that there will be there'll be 13 strips of land. The truth is, it's not really 13. It is 13. 13 strips of land. The 13 strips of land will go from the western extremity of Eretz Yisrael, which is the Mediterranean Sea, and going all the way to the eastern extremity of Eretz Yisrael, whatever that is. We will be given some borders here, and the borders also mentioned in Parshas Pinchas, Parshas Matos, but we are not necessarily familiar with all of the landmarks that are given in the Chumash or in the Navi.
Do we have an idea?
I don't. We probably do. The strips of land will go all the way from west to east, and they are going to be equidistant in height in north to south. And those 13 strips, there's going to be they're going to be 7 to the north of 7 tribes, 5 to the south of 5 tribes, and the one not quite in the middle that will be where the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim, the Levium, the city of Yerushalayim, and the Nasi, which ostensibly means the king, will reside. That will be that land. So this is going to be described in detail over here. We've already touched on this before, but now it will be described in great detail.
Can you say that one more time? This 13 strips, 7 north?
7 to the north.
5 south?
5 to the south. Those are 12 tribes. And the one, not quite in the middle, it's 6th from the bottom, is going to be where you're going to have the Beis HaMikdash, mm-hmm. the Kohanim, the Levium, Yerushalayim, and where the king, the Nasi, is going to be as well. So we'll see as we go along.
Does it say where the northern or southern extremity is?
Yeah, it says all the boundaries are given. But the question is, what do they mean? So, okay. So, starting with Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13. Ko amar Hashem Elokim, so says Hashem God. Gei Givul Asher Tisnachalu Es Ha'aretz. These are the boundaries that you will apportion the land, give up the land. Lishnei Asar Shivtei Yisrael, to the 12 tribes of Yisrael. Now, if you... Yud Gimel. To the 12 tribes of Yisrael. And now if there's 12 tribes, then you have to explain how are they 12, because Levi doesn't get a portion. So how are there 12 tribes? Yosef Chavalim. Yosef gets 2 portions. Yosef meaning Ephraim and Menashe. It gets split into 2, and that's how you end up with 12, even though Levi is not counted. Now you can ask, why does the Navi need to tell us this? I mean, we know this already from the Chumash. Yosef is divided up into Menashe and Ephraim. In fact, on Sunday evenings, we're learning this right now. And that's true throughout the Midbar, throughout the wilderness. It's true when they got into Eretz Yisrael. But since in the time of the third Beis HaMikdash, we're going to find that everything is going to be divided up completely differently, so one may have thought that Yosef would be given 1 portion and not 2. So he has to tell us explicitly that Yosef does still get 2 portions. Unechaltemo sa ish ke'achiv. You will apportion it each man according to his friend. In other words, it's not going to be according to the size of the tribe, but rather each tribe gets the same amount. That I raised my hand to give it to your ancestors. This land will fall to you as an inheritance or as a portion. These are the boundaries of the land. We've asked Tzafona, to the side of the north, min hayam hagadol, from the Great Sea, which is, of course, the Mediterranean. Haderech cheslon levo tzedada. The way of cheslon.
The Great Sea is in the north?
No, we're starting in the northwest corner.
Oh.
The north boundary, starting from the west, starts right next to the Mediterranean Sea, and then we're going to move to the east along the border.
Oh, okay.
Haderech cheslon, the way of cheslon, coming towards Tzedada, towards the place is called Tzedad. Tzedadad is to Tzedad. The hey at the end is like a lamed at the beginning of the word, towards Tzedad. Now, where are these places? I don't know for sure, but that's where we are. And now the next pasuk also gives us a bunch of names of places which are meant to tell us where the northern boundary is. Chamos, Beirosa, Sivrayim. Those are three other places. Asher ben Gavul Damesek, that are between the boundary of Damesek. Damesek would be Damascus. Now we know Damascus is a city. Damesek, it seems to be, as an area, a neighborhood, some sort of a place. It's mentioned in the Chumash several times. But we know
not that Damascus.
It may be. It's going to, certainly going to be
in southern Arabia.
No, Damascus is in Syria.
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 All the way in the north.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's all going. These are all between Eretz Yisrael and the border of Damascus. Uvein Gvul Hamas, and between the border of Hamas, Chatzer HaTichon Asher Gvul Chavron. Again, different places. This is Chatzer HaTichon. That is on the boundary of Chavron.
Chavron is it?
No, that's not Chavron.
No.
Chavron is with a vase, and that's in Eretz Yisrael. And the boundary from the west, Chatzar Einon, the boundary of Damesek, Vitzafon, Tzafona, Ugvul Hamas, and north, towards the north, and the boundary of Hamas, face past Tzafon, and essentially that means, and this is the northern boundary. Now, the words read in a difficult way, but since we don't really know where all these places are, at least I don't know where all these places are, I don't have a good way of translating everything in a way that will run smoothly. But that essentially Yechezkel just told us the northern boundary of Eretz Yisrael. Ufa'as Kadim, the eastern boundary, we're starting from the north. We're gonna make a square starting from we started in the northwest. We moved east. Now we're in the northeast corner, and we're going to go south. So the eastern boundary, mibein Chavron umibein Damesek, from between Chavron and between Damesek, umibein HaGilad, and from between the Gilad, umibein Eretz Yisrael HaYarden, and between Eretz Yisrael the Jordan River. Rashi points out that the eastern border really goes much further east than what is being discussed over here. But this is the eastern border of Eretz Yisrael proper, not the eastern border which includes Eiver HaYarden, which includes the other side of the Jordan River. We know that in Eretz Yisrael that there were two major portions. There was the actual Eretz Yisrael, which is where we consider Eretz Yisrael to be today, where the state of Israel is today. And then there is where the state of Jordan is today, which is also part of Eretz Yisrael, but it's considered a subsidiary part of Eretz Yisrael. And that is called Eiver HaYarden, the other side of the Jordan, the east bank of the Jordan River.
All of Jordan?
I don't know how far it goes to the east. So the boundary we're having over here includes the Jordan River as the boundary, because we're giving the boundary of Eretz Yisrael proper, not of the boundary which includes Eiver HaYarden, where Jordan is today. Migvul al hayam hakadmoni tamodu, from the boundary upon the eastern sea you should measure. The eastern sea is, what's the eastern sea? Anybody know? That would be the Kinneret, right? That would be the Kinneret, right? Ve'es pas kadima, that is the eastern border. So the eastern border runs along the waterways, the Kinneret and the Yarden. Rashi points out in Chumash that the entire Kinneret is inside the border of Eretz Yisrael. That's important to know for water rights. But the entire Kinneret is inside the border of Eretz Yisrael. Yud Tes. Ufas Negev Teimana, and the boundary of the south. We're starting in from the southeast as we're making a complete square, so we're going from southeast to southwest. Mi Tamar ad Me Merivos Kadesh, from Tamar until Me Merivos Kadesh. Nachla El Hayama Gadol, to Nachal, to the great ocean, going back towards the Mediterranean. Ve'es Pas Teimana Negva, that is the boundary of the south. So we've gone the entire southern boundary all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. Now we're at the western boundary. Ufas Yam Hayam HaGadol. The western boundary is the Mediterranean Sea, going from south to north along the sea. Migavul ad nochach levo Hamas, from Gavul until you face the way to go to Hamas, Zos Pas Yam, that is the western boundary. Now these boundaries mimic the boundaries that you find in the Chumash. We are coming up to them pretty soon in the laning of the week. In Parshas, as I mentioned before, Parshas Matos, I'm pretty sure that's where it is. If it's not Matos, it's Masek, but I'm pretty sure it's Matos. We read them the same week anyway. Yeah. So the boundaries there are also spelled out. In some ways a little more detail, in some ways over here is a little bit more detail, and those who are familiar with these areas can map out Eretz Yisrael pretty well. The idea is to form basically a square, or perhaps a rectangle. That's essentially what we're mapping out over here.
Paas?
Paas means
like an area?
Well, Peya means a corner. Like Peos.
So the part, right? That's the Yam, which is the western side.
Right. So it doesn't here mean corner, it means side. It means the entire side. Right. There is a discussion in the Gemara whether the Mediterranean itself falls into the boundary of Eretz Yisrael. Are they territorial waters of Eretz Yisrael? The Gemara discusses in Maseches Gittin whether the waters themselves... What's that?
Because it says until.
Yeah, well, you're right. There are different words that the Gemara darshans that expounds upon. The Gemara seems to be pretty clear that much of the waters off of Eretz Yisrael, according to everybody, are within the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, which means any islands in there would also be Eretz Yisrael's islands. There is an opinion that says that the western border follows the Mediterranean all the way out to the Atlantic. And it goes out that far. There is such an opinion. So, you know, different opinions in the Gemara and the Rishonim over there. But for as far as we're concerned, we're dealing with the land itself. So we have an idea now about the land.
Do we have any kind of map or that we could see?
There's one right here.
That would be wonderful.
You want to show you a map there?
Yeah. But it doesn't show the partition of the land.
Just a map. Do you have a big map
reference? I do, but I'm reluctant to use it because I don't know exactly where everything is.
Well, you could just point around here.
Yeah, okay? But we're just
great.
This.
I'll bring the map.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I'm gonna have to wait a while for it.
This one gives names to this one. Gives names also. We're going to get to that in a minute. We haven't gotten to that yet. We just gave the whole square of Eretz Yisrael. We haven't divided it up yet.
So, you once drew for us this rectangle with the lines. Was that in this book anywhere?
Yeah, that is in there. That is in there somewhere.
That's what I thought. I just don't know where.
It's probably earlier.
Because this is the day.
Remember around what chapter?
These are what I'm talking about. The other side, the Reuven got in half nine, but the other side of this.
Really, yeah, which will not be the case. But that will not.
This is pre.
That will not be the case in the time of the third temple about Reuven and God. That will not be the case. Okay. V'chilaktem es haaretz hazos lachem l'shivtei Yisrael. You should divide up this land for you, for the tribes of Israel. V'haya, and it will be tapilu osa b'nachala. You will give it out as a portion lachem for you. And here's a fascinating thing. Ula, save that page. We'll use that in a moment. Just we'll keep it. Thank you. Ula hageirim hagarim besochechem, and to the converts that live amongst you. Asher holidu vani besochechem, that have had children amongst you. V'ayu lachem, they will be to you ke'ezrach b'vnei Yisrael, like a
citizen,
right, of the B'nai Yisrael. Itchem yiplu v'nachala, with you they will take a portion, b'soch shivtei Yisrael, amongst the tribes of Yisrael. Now we know that one of the drawbacks of converting is that a convert does not get a portion in Eretz Yisrael. That has always been the case, because the land of Israel was given out specifically to those who entered Eretz Yisrael after leaving Egypt. And it was completely given out. There were no parts left over. It wasn't like a developing community where there's tracts of land that haven't been apportioned yet. Everything was given out. And then
wasn't an Erev Rav?
They didn't get any land.
So where did they live? They came?
So they would have to just find the Erev Rav. I'm not sure that any of them ever made it, because a lot of them were killed out in the various errors that they caused. But there were Geirim who came. They just had to find a place to live. People had to be nice, let them stay someplace, whatever it is, or stay with the Levium. But they did not get land, which is a major drawback, especially in an agricultural society. It means not having any wealth. So this was a major drawback of being a convert, and it was something which a person to convert had to be very sincere, because they would end up having no place. And this is the whole issue that we had in Parshas Emor with the blasphemer, because he was someone who didn't have any portion because his father was Egyptian, and as a result he wanted a portion in his mother's tribe, and in the court paskin that no, he doesn't get. Now here Yechezkel tells us something startling, which is that this will not be the case in the third Beis Hamikdash. In the third Beis Hamikdash, the converts will get a portion in the land as well. Now, where do you put them? If you got to put them someplace, and since it's all given out to all the tribes, so where do they go? So look at the next pasuk. V'hayava shevet asher gar hager ito. It will be the tribe with whom the ger lives. Sham titnu nachala. So there you will give him his portion. Numa Hashem Elokim, says Hashem God.
So does this also apply to children of intermarriages where the father wasn't Jewish?
If they convert. You're asking like that case over there. Right, so over there, you mean because the father wasn't Jewish, so therefore they don't have a portion.
Right.
Right, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay.
That's a good question. So So where do they go? They go amongst the people that they're living. So if a ger lives amongst the tribe of Reuven, then they would live amongst the tribe of Reuven. They would get a portion there. If it's amongst the tribe of Yehuda, then we go with Yehuda. So the question is, what does this mean? Because we're all going to migrate to Eretz Yisrael. We're all going to go there. So what do you mean where the ger is living? The ger will live wherever he's told to live. Just like we're all going to live wherever we're told to live. So it's hard to know what this means. So Rashi explains, this does not mean where they're going to live in Eretz Yisrael, meaning it doesn't mean the tribe with whom they're living in Eretz Yisrael, rather means the tribe with whom they're living in Golus. Now, today, the tribe with whom the convert is living today, it is with that tribe that the convert will receive a place in Eretz Yisrael. So if we are to assume, and this may not be true, but if we are to assume that neighborhoods today, or we'll call them different groups within Klal Yisrael today, if we're to assume that we tend to gravitate towards our own, which is the common thing that people do, for all the American dream of a melting pot, etc., but it doesn't really work in real life. Most of the time, ethnic groups stick with their own ethnic group. So if we are to assume that amongst Klal Yisrael as well, we tend to gravitate towards our own, even if we don't realize that we don't know who our tribes are, but if we are to make that assumption, then whatever ger lives amongst a particular group, they will then receive a portion with that group in Eretz Yisrael.
And if they live among Kohanim and Levim?
So then that's a good question, because they don't really have a real portion. That's a good question. Now what if they live in a multi-shevet community? I don't know how many multi-shevet communities there are in the world. In the Orthodox synagogue for all Jews, for all we know, we may be one tribe.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know that we're all Jews. We may only be one tribe.
You have the Kohanim and the Levim.
Okay, but they're spread out amongst everybody. But we don't know. We have no idea. So whatever's going to happen when Mashiach comes...
That's not so true. I thought we're all from Yehuda anyway.
No, we're not all from Yehuda. We should be predominantly from Yehuda and Binyamin. because those are the two tribes, along with Levi, that didn't go into Golus under Sancheirov. But the Gemara says that before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the first Beis Hamikdash, then Yoshiyahu HaMelech brought back the 10 tribes. Now, it doesn't seem like he brought back the entire 10 tribes, but he brought back some of the 10 tribes. And the Gemara says we have a community, we have a tradition that no tribe is wiped out. Every tribe continues on. So there are representatives amongst us of all the tribes. We should be predominantly Yehuda and Binyamin, but we don't know. We don't know how people develop. And who knows whether Sephardi Jews and Ashkenazi Jews, whether that's a breakdown amongst two different tribes. We don't know. We don't know. All I know is that it is the way of the world that you gravitate towards your comfort zone. As much as Rabbi Feldman hates that, but that is human nature. People gravitate to where they are most comfortable. And you're going to be most comfortable with the type of person that shares your background and your personality. And that's going to be most likely within your own shevet. I would not be surprised if when Mashiach comes, it's going to turn out that various cities or various neighborhoods are predominantly one shevet. It will not surprise me. I don't know. I have no idea how it's going to work.
Because we gravitated towards each other. Very few of us are from Atlanta. So gravitation,
if everybody has 10 children, it would be, you know, let's say five of them go here. It's from the same mother.
When you say children, it depends. If they are women, if they're women, then when they marry, then they go after their husband's tribe. If it's boys, then they are right. Then they're all going to be from the same tribe. They have to be. They're from the same family. My brothers and I are all from the same tribe. We don't know which one it is, but we're all from the same tribe. Even though one is in Philly and one is...
But the women... So we're the ones that kind of are...
Blend in.
Huh?
Blend to social?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jewish unity.
Except for it does count for Kohanim and Levi, and when it comes to Pinyan HaBen, the woman is from that Shevet.
Yeah, that is
true.
There's
exceptions.
There are exceptions. What else has to do with matrilineal descent with who's Jewish? It also has to do with the woman. But depending on whose tribe you're from, that follows the man. So, again, I'm not a Navi. I don't know this for a fact. It just won't surprise me. I just feel that is human nature for all of
if that's human nature, then all the Gerim would be in one group together.
They would go with
the other Gerim.
I don't think that's true, because a Ger by definition has chosen to leave their comfort zone. That's what they've decided to do. So it becomes a different...
Do you think it's possible when this happens that the Gerim will actually find out that somewhere out there they were actually from a Jewish thread?
Well, there is that as well. That's part of Eliyahu HaNavi, that he'll tell us who's who. So there are, Rashi says it in several places, but especially in Sefer Zechariah, Rashi points out that there are people who don't realize that they're Jewish, that really are Jewish. There are also Jews who don't realize that they're not Jewish. Right? There's both going around. So it seems there's difference of opinions how this is going to work. It seems that the Jews who believe that they're Jews but don't realize that they're not, and no one realizes that. See, there are people who think that they are. We know they're not. You know, right. There's plenty of that. There's plenty of...
Brian Malkin. Huh? Did you hear about that?
There's plenty of that in the secular Jewish world, of people who think that they're Jewish but they're not. Those people, so we know they're not Jewish, but there are people who everybody thinks is Jewish. It's been generations and they've blended in. There is an opinion that they will simply be Jewish. That's all. They will
be
considered Jewish.
Will they be a Ger?
I don't know.
Or will they have a Nachalah?
I don't know. So these are all things, it's conjecture, I don't know for sure. But here we see that the Gerim will receive a portion in Eretz Yisrael with the Shevet amongst whom they live. To me, that's a comforting thought, because look, we want Mashiach to come tomorrow. So he's going to come tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem. So he comes. So now we all want to move to Eretz Yisrael. So next to whom do we live? So we are all friendly, we have a camaraderie with each other. Are we going to be living near each other? Well, it depends what shevet we're from, right? We're allowed to visit each other, but, you know, distance is distance. You're living up north, you're living down south, you know, where are you living? So there's going to be people, you know, living in new communities. So as I said, first of all, I suspect, although I don't know this for a fact, I suspect that a lot of us are really from the same tribe because we gravitate to each other. That's my presumption, even though it could be wrong. And the Gerim are the ones who are guaranteed to live with the people who they're next to. Right? The Gerim stay with their neighbors because that's what it says here. That they're going to go, they're going to get a portion where amongst the tribe with whom they're living now.
Yeah.
So they're the ones who are guaranteed to stay with their neighbors, which also means that if you are friendly with the Ger, then you are likely to remain in close proximity to that Ger when we go to Eretz Yisrael. Right? It goes both ways.
Right.
So that's all. But this is all conjecture. We don't really know for a fact. I'm just drawing this from the way that the Pesukim say it over here with Rashi. Okay. Mem Ches, chapter 48, as we speed along here.
Excuse me, what about the people who are already in Eretz Yisrael? Will they split up? Again,
I imagine they're also gravitating towards the people they're more comfortable with.
But the whole land is going to be different anyway.
Yeah, but they're going to lose, right? They're going to be moved around.
Because they have peoples.
Yeah, in whatever houses they're living in, they don't necessarily have that land. It's unlikely that they're living on the correct piece of land that they're going to get later. Although, you never know. Stranger things have happened. Okay. Look, that's the argument against anywhere. You know, we're in Gullis. We're in Gullis whether we're here or whether we're there. We're in Gullis.
Yeah.
And when a Jew is in Gullis, it's a bad idea to become too attached to the place that we're in because it's not ours. So, okay. Ve'ele shmos ha-shvatim, and these are the names of the shvatim, miktzei tzafona, from the edge of the north, el yad derech cheslon levochama, so he's reiterating the northwest corner. So next to the way to Cheslon, coming towards Chamas, Chatzar Einon, that's another place, Gvul Damesek Tzafona, the boundary of Damesek on the north, El Yad Chamas, that's going to be the northeast border, so we've gone from northwest to northeast, V'hayu Lo Pa'as Kadim Hayam, and it will be for it the eastern border, the ocean. Obviously this does not mean the Mediterranean. That would have to be the Yam Kinneret. It would have to be all the way in the northeast. And Dan Echad. Dan is going to be one. Meaning, Dan will have the furthest, the northern extremity is going to be Dan. That's the furthest north.
Mm-hmm.
If for those of you who have the article, what page is that on? It's going to give us the
705. But also 748 gives a listing.
Okay. So Dan has the furthest north. That is consistent with where he was in the time of the first Pesach Hamikdash. Dan was all the way in the north. And that's where he will
this
be
one
here.
Has Asher in the north.
This is,
you have to
see what time
is. Is that around Syria?
Yes. Dan had a portion further south and then went north and conquered another area of north.
Is that included or before Syria?
It cuts into Syria and Lebanon. Okay. Which is just another part of Syria anyway. Ve'al gevul Dan mipa'as kadim ad pas yama, and on the boundary of Dan, meaning south of Dan, from the east to the west, all the way across from east to west, Asher Echad. That's Asher. So Asher is second from the top. Ve'al gevul Asher, and on the boundary of Asher, mipa'as kadim avad pasyama, again from the east all the way to the west, Naphtali echad is Naphtali. So you have Dan, Asher, Naphtali. Ve'al gevul Naphtali mipa'as kadim avad pasyama, and on the boundary of Naphtali, meaning going further south, from east to west, Menashe echad. Menashe gets one portion. Ve'al gevul Menashe mipa'as kadim avad pasyama, again, from east to west, and this should be no surprise. Who is next to Menashe? Ephraim Echad. Valgul Ephraim Pas Kadim Ad Pas Yama, Reuven Echad. From east to west, beneath Menashe, where Ephraim is Reuven. And finally, the seventh of the northern tribes, Valgvul Reuven, and on the boundary of Reuven, Nipas Kadim Ad Pas Yama, from the east all the way to the west, Yehuda Echad. That's Yehuda. So again, the seven northernmost tribes are Dan, Asher, Naphtali, Menashe, Ephraim, Reuven, Yehuda. Those are your seven northern tribes.
Gotcha.
Now we're going to digress into the area that is south of Yehuda, with the next strip of land, which will be equal to the other strips of land, but now we're going to have where the Beis HaMikdash is, the Kohanim, the Levim, etc. Now I want you to hold the place here at Pasuk Ches, which is where we're up to, and skip ahead all the way to Chaf Gimel 23. So we're skipping 16 psukim. Mm-hmm. 16 psukim. Look at Chaf Gimel, verse 23. I want to read these next five so we get the other five tribes. So these 16 psukim that I'm skipping deal with this middle of the, you know, the basically the middle of the strips, which is going to be where the Beis HaMikdash is. And now we have the other five. V'yeser ha-shvatim, the rest of the tribes, mipas kadima ad pas yama, from east to west, Binyamin Echad, is Binyamin, which is directly south of the Beis HaMikdash. He's got the next one. V'al gvul Binyamin, mipas kadima ad pas yama, on the boundary of Binyamin, from east to west, Shimon Echad, he's next further down. V'al gvul Shimon, mipas kadima ad pas yama, from east to west, Yisachar Echad, that's Yisachar. V'agvul Yisachar mipas kadima pas yama zvulun echad, directly south of Yisachar. And finally, and the last one, v'agvul zvulun mipas kadima pas yama, and east to west, all the way on the bottom, the southernmost tribe is Gad echad, is Gad. So the five southern tribes are going to be Binyamin, Shimon, Yisachar, Zvulun, and Gad. And let's read one more pasuk. Let's read actually two more pasukim. Val Gvul Gad, and on the boundary of Gad, the southern boundary of Gad, he reiterates the southern border. El Pas Negev Teimana, to the southern border. V'haya Gvul Mitamar Me Merivas Kadesh, from Tamar Me Merivas Kadesh, Nachla, towards the Nachal, El Al Hayama Gadol, on the Mediterranean Sea. Zos Ha'aretz Hashat Hapilu, this is the land that will be given out. Minachal as a portion, the Shivta Yisrael, to the tribes of Israel. Ve'ela Machlik Kosam, this is how you divide it. Nu'um Hashem Elokim, says Hashem God. Okay, so those are your 12 tribes. We skipped 16 psukim that are going to deal with that middle strip that's going to have all the Beis HaMikdash, Kohanim, Levim, etc. So now let's go back to Pasuk Ches, verse 8. We'll see if we can cover these 16 psukim. Then we're really in striking distance for the last session. Okay. So, Pasuk Ches, verse 8. Val Gavul Yehuda, and on the boundary of Yehuda, which means directly south of Yehuda, Mipas Kadim Ad Pas Yama, from east until west, Tiye HaTruma, will be the Truma. Truma means the separated portion, the part that you separate. Asher Tarimu, that you will separate, Chamisha V'Esrim Elef Rochav, which is 25,000 wide, that means north to south, the width is north to south, because that's the smaller of the two dimensions. When you have a rectangle, so the smaller one is called the width. So north to south, that's going to be 25,000. He doesn't say 25,000 what? Mm. But we know from before that we're measuring with rods, and each rod is 6 amos. So 25,000 times 6 amos is 150,000 amos. That's the north to south of this strip. The orech, and how long is it from east to west? Like all the other portions. Mipas kadima ad pas yama, from east to west. V'haya hamikdash bisocho, and the mikdash will be within this portion. So in the middle of this 25, in the middle of this this strip of land, which is 25,000 rods north to south, is where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be. Now where is it going to be in there? Hatruma shatarimu la Hashem, this separation that you separate for Hashem, orech chamisha ve'esrim elef verochav aseres alafim, a length of 25,000, and a width of 10,000. So let's put this on the board so we know what we're talking about over here. Thank you.
Anyways, our masterpiece here.
You got the kitchen sink in.
You guys got this memorized already?
Yeah, right.
Okay. This is going to be on the test.
We need a test like at the end of every 2 weeks.
You know, if we're making a seum, there's got to be a test, you know.
The test was that we came every week. Okay.
We
got the test.
Asked for a review, though, before
the Okay. Okay.
Is there any way that we can figure out how 150,000 almonds, yeah, how many acres?
I don't know about acres. I don't know how big an acre is, but I'll give you an idea. Okay. So we've got this strip of land, which it's not clear to us how long it is.
Just like the others.
The other ones.
Okay. Now, we know that the width, which is north to south, is 25,000 rods. We'll discuss what that is in a moment. 25,000 rods. In the very middle of this strip of land is there's a box. This box is likewise 25,000 rods. So this box is 25,000 by 25,000. The top 10,000, which is 40% of it, that does not come out right. Hold on, so this will look better than that. Because we need to divide it up by 10,000, 10,000, and 5,000. That's how it's going to break down. So, the top, put that here, the top 10,000, right here, okay. So, the top 10,000 by 25,000, that's going to be one portion of this, another 10,000 by 25,000, and 5,000 by 25,000. So, let's see if I can, that's 10,000. That's 10,000. And this is 5,000. Okay?
Right.
Now we're in the top one. So that's where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be.
Page 709.
Okay? So we'll add on to this diagram as we go over here. Okay?
Pasuk what?
Pasuk.
And that's all of Shevet Yehuda?
No, it is none of it. Shevet Yehuda. Yehuda is up here. Yehuda is the portion directly above it, and Binyamin is the portion directly below it.
Oh.
You've got seven more strips above it, and five strips below it. This is a separate strip, not owned by any Shevet.
If you
want to
come over here,
okay. So Pasuk Tes, verse 9. Hatruma shetorimu laHashem, the portion that you're going to, the separation you're going to separate for Hashem, orech chamisha ve'esrim elef, its length is 25,000, v'rochav aseres alafim, and wide by 10,000. So it's 25,000 this way, 10,000 that way. That's the part that's for Hashem, which means for the Beis HaMikdash. Ule'ele tia sumas hakodesh, and to these will be this separation of Kodesh, this top, this 10,000 by 25,000, la kohanim tzafona, la kohanim for the kohanim, tzafona to the north, chamisha ve'esrim elef, 25,000, v'yama rocha v'aseres alafim, and to the west, 10,000, v'kadima rocha v'aseres alafim, and to the east, 10,000, v'negba orech chamisha ve'esrim elef, and to the south, 25,000. And the Mikdash HaMashem will be in it. So he just went through the length of each of the perimeter. It's 25,000 to the north, 10,000 on the west, 10,000 on the east, and 25,000 on the south. That's what he just did. He just drew our box for us, where the Beis HaMikdash is going to go with the Kohanim. Yud Aleph 11. La Kohanim HaMikudash Mibnei Tzadok, to the Kohanim who have been sanctified from the children of Tzadok. That's a reference, we've had this several times, where he singles out Tzadok as being the quintessential Kohen. Asher Shamru Mishmarti, that they guarded my guardings. Asher Lo Sa'u Bis'os Bnei Yisrael, that they did not go wayward when the Bnei Yisrael went wayward. Kasher Tohu Alevim, and as the Levim also went wayward, they stayed the course. Yud Beis 12, Vaisalahem Trumiya Mitumas Aretz Kodesh Kalashim, and for them this separated portion will be Holy of Holies, El Gvula Leviim, to the boundary of the Leviim. Now what does it mean to the boundary of the Leviim? Because this next strip down here, this next 25,000 by 10,000 will be for the Leviim. So this is, I'm going to put down here, I'll read it in English, is the Beis HaMikdash. I'll put that kind of in the middle here. Beis HaMikdash. And Kohanim. Here, this next one is Leviim. I guess it's a double I, right? Leviim.
Close enough.
Yeah, okay. Fine. So that's Pasuk Tes. Where am I here? Yud.
Base.
Yud Base, thank you. 12. That's Pasuk 12. So Yud Gimel. 13, Vahalavim Luumas Gvula Kohanim, and the Levim will be corresponding to the border of the Kohanim, directly south. Again, Chamisha Ve'eshim Elef Orech, 25,000 long, Verochav Aseres Alafim, and 10,000 wide. Kol Orech Chamisha Ve'eshim Elef Verochav Aseres Alafim. The entire area will be a length of 25,000 and a width of 10,000. It doesn't get any narrower any place, it's exactly 25,000 by 10,000. V'lo yimkiru mimenu, they will not sell any of it. You can't sell it away to anybody else. V'lo yamer, will not be exchanged for other land. V'lo yavor reishis haaretz, and it will not be it says yavir, and you read it yavor or yav. I'm not sure how you read it.
Yavir.
You're right. I see. It changes the vav to a yud. Thank you. Okay. So it won't be passed over the best of the land. Ki kodesh to Hashem, for it is kodesh to Hashem. Now what about the bottom 5,000? V'chamesh asalafim hanosar barochav, the remaining 5,000 that you have in the width, al pnei chamisha v'eshim elef, which is by 25,000 long, chol hu lo'ir, it is mundane for the city, meaning compared to how holy the other lands are, the Beis HaMikdash land, the Leviim's land, this one will be chol for the city, lemoshav ulemigrash, for living and also migrash, which means like a park area. Vahisaha ir b'socho, the city will be in it. So down here you have the rest of Yerushalayim. Is the city of Yerushalayim. Okay, that goes down there.
Everything, all we know now is Yerushalayim won't
ever change, right? Yes, so Rashi takes pains to show that it's not changing demographically where Yerushalayim is now.
So this is where it is.
Yeah.
And it will always be there.
Right. Right.
So
remember that there are going to be some significant geological changes. Mm-hmm. That we know from the Pesukim in Zechariah. So we don't know how that's going to affect everything.
How will that happen?
There's going to be some kind of upheaval. But we know the mountains are going to move, and there's going to be water where there wasn't water before. There's all kinds of stuff that's described over there. So you can't look at a map today and say, okay, this is exactly where it is. It's not going to, Yerushalayim's not going to get up and move. I mean, it's got to be where it is. But the area around it will change significantly, it seems.
Tremors or earthquakes?
Something like that. It appears.
But it appears from reading this that all the non-Kohanim that are like in the old city area would then have to leave because that whole area is going to be Kohanim.
Mm. You mean the old city? Well,
because the Beis HaMikdash is right all Kohanim, and then next to it is the Leviim, so, and then Yerushalayim is further south.
Right. So the question is this. You see, when you say Yerushalayim is further south, so Yerushalayim, right. It's going to be
the Beis HaMikdash going to be where the Beis HaMikdash
it has to
was?
Be the Beis HaMikdash can't move.
Okay,
that's stationary. So where people are going to live outside of you of the Beis HaMikdash is going to sprawl to the south. Right now it sprawls to the west necessarily because to the east you have the Arabs, so it sprawls to the west, which is getting further and further into where more Jews are living. So that's where it sprawls. But you're right, the old city I think is going to be actually subsumed by the Beis HaMikdash itself. Mm-hmm. Because the Beis HaMikdash is so much larger. Mm-hmm. Than what it was before, as we saw in the diagrams before.
But if everybody's living in their strip of land,
who lives there?
Who lives?
That's a good question. That's a good question. No, in the city itself, there'll be others living, but I don't know who.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's not going to be a Lebanon. I mean,
you're single. Well, there's a city. It's a city. No, it says also Moshav.
So.
Does it say that other nations can live in our land?
Say it again.
Does it say that other nations will be permitted to live in our land?
I don't know. I don't know. They're certainly not going to make up the bulk of it. No one's going to be welcome unless they keep the Torah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, you know, they don't have to keep our laws, but they got to keep theirs. That's true even in the time of the first Beis Hamikdash. You weren't welcome if you weren't keeping the Torah.
Or the seven mitzvahs b'nei noach.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
A non-Jew keeping the Torah means they got to keep the
so
seven mitzvahs.
Kept the seven Noahide laws.
Then they were allowed to live in Eretz Yisrael. If they didn't keep the seven laws, they were escorted out.
Believed in Hashem.
That's one of the laws. Yeah. That's one of the laws.
They're going to need a lot of mikvahot also, right?
Because of going to the Beis Hamikdash. Yeah, sure. Sure.
Because, so maybe that's going to be in the old city.
Could be.
Saying that the Beis Hamikdash is going to end up larger.
Could be. I don't know.
Could be the sale of animals, you know. You need a sheep.
did you go to the excavation over there where what's it called?
Yeah, they had the sale. They had like cheap places.
Right,
and stuff.
Right. They can show you where the mikvah were and where they sold.
Yeah, it's going to have to support. It's going to have to support the Beis Hamikdash. That's you know everything around the Beis Hamikdash is going to be Beis Hamikdash oriented. That's
somewhere
you know.
You have to grow all the spices.
And that's you're discussing the second Beis Hamikdash. So that's the thing. Okay. What they're finding today is second Beis Hamikdash era, right? First Beis Hamikdash is much more, much larger. It was just a bigger operation, or more people, and it was for a longer period. Well, not a longer period of time, but it was more autonomy, and there's just more going on. So in third Beis Hamikdash would be just even exponentially larger.
Rabbi, why does it pretty much go into the same details?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Well, here it's a little more detail than before.
But there were plenty of details.
I know. I don't know why it has to be repeated. That's a good question. Really, the question is, why mention it before? It should have all been put here. Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know the answer.
So we learn.
Okay, so yeah, review for the test.
Why would Hashem put names of places knowing that we don't know?
No, he doesn't
want us to know until it's time for us to understand.
No, I think there are those who know. I think it's just me. You know.
I think
there are those who know. I think it's possible to figure it out. You got to go and you got to really put your nose to the ground and figure it out. But, you know, I think it's possible. Tes Zion, 16. Ve'ela Midoseha, these are the measurements. Pa'as Tzafon, the northern side. Now, this is of the city, the 5,000 by 25,000. So the northern side, Chamesh Me'os V'Arbas Alofim, is 4,500. Ufas Negev Chamesh. Now the second word chamesh is written, but it's not read. Me'os v'arbas alafim is 4,500. Upa'as kadim chamesh me'os v'arbas alafim is also 4,500. Upa'as yama chamesh me'os v'arbas alafim is also 4,500. So the city is going to be 4,500 in each direction, and then. That the migrash, which is the park area, will be to the north 250, and south 250, and east 250, and west 250. So what we have then is that I'm going to erase this word Yerushalayim so we can make this a little more clear. In the middle of this 5,000 area, in the middle, there is going to be a square, which is 5,000 by 5,000. That's the city of Yerushalayim. That middle part there, which is 5,000 by 5,000,
a settlement city.
That's Yerushalayim. Okay. Got it. I mean, whatever. Okay. Now let's blow this up. Let's make it a larger picture. Okay. Let's make it a larger picture here. Of this 5,000 by 5,000, it's going to be 4,500 by 4,500.
So the city itself is 4,500 by 4,500, including the Migrash, including the park, it's 5,000 by 5,000, because this middle area is 250.
So the park is 250?
Yeah.
All around?
Yeah, so if you add 250 and 250, you get 500, plus the 4,500, so now you have a total of 5,000.
The separation.
Right. That's just, right, a park around the city. Now, what about these other areas that flank Yerushalayim? You now have a 10,000 by 5,000 area on either side. What happens to that? That hasn't been divided up yet. So, the Navi writes, Yerches 18, V'hanosar ba'orech l'umas shumas ha-kodesh aseres alafim kadima v'aseres alafim yama, and the remainder in the length corresponding to the kodesh separations above it, 10,000 to the east and 10,000 to the west, v'hayal l'umas shumas ha-kodesh will be corresponding to the kodesh part, to the part further to the north, v'aisas v'aso l'lechem l'ovdei ha'ir, and it will be, its grain will be for bread for those who serve the city. So they will grow in these areas. There will be grain grown in the area that flanks Yerushalayim to feed Yerushalayim, to feed those who are working in the city. That's what that will be for. V'ha'oved ha'ir, and those who serve in the city, Ya'avduhu mikol shivtei Yisrael, they will work it from all the shivtei Yisrael. So the simple reading of this pasuk, there's several ways of reading it, but the simple way is that there will be people from all the tribes in the city, and they will be sustained by those areas flanking the city.
So when they bake breads, and they have to be, this is the grain that's going to come from?
Those two areas, on the either side of Yerushalayim.
When they offer all the offerings, the bowl and then the...
No, they could... I don't think it has to be... This is to feed the people in the city. This is not the Beis HaMikdash. It's to feed the people.
The middle square.
Breakfast. Cheerios. Okay? Kol ha-truma chamisha ve'esrim elef ba'chamisha ve'esrim elef. So the entire truma, which means the entire area that has been set aside as a separate area which is being given away to Hashem from all the tribes, is 25,000 by 25,000. Where am I here? Revius and a square, Tarimu es Trumas HaKodesh, you will separate the separating of holiness, El Achuzas Soir, for the portion of the city. Vahano Sar Lanasi, what about the rest of it? What about all of this? All of this area here, and all of this area here.
JNF.
So that goes to the Nasi. That goes to the Nasi. That goes to the Nasi on either side. The Nasi is the king, ostensibly, and he gets the area on either side.
Why isn't it called Melech?
He's called the Nasi throughout Yechezkel, and also in the Chumash. Oh, no, Chumash says Melech. It's true. But it's called Nasi throughout Yechezkel. I don't know why, but he calls it Nasi. So vanasar lanasi, the rest for the nasi, mizeh umizeh, on this side and on this side, l'sumas ha-kodesh, of the part that was separated for the kodesh, v'la achuzas ha'ir, and for the city, el panei chamisha ve'esrim olef, elef truma, on the facing the 25,000 of that was separated, ad vul kadim, all the way to the east, v'yaman, all the way to the west, al panei chamisha ve'esrim olef, that faces the 25,000 separated part, al gvul yama, towards the west, Lumas chalakim lanasi, towards the portions for the nasi. Vaisa trumas hakodesh umigdash habayis besocho. So the part that was separated for the kodesh and for the bayis would be right smack in the middle of the nasi's portion. That if you think about it, it makes the nasi's portion difficult to manage, because he's in two places separated. He can't just drive your tractor right through the Beis HaMikdash to go from one to the other. Right?
Yeah.
It's two separate portions. They're not contiguous. Umeachuzas ha-leviim, umeachuzas ha-yir, and from the portion of the leviim in the city, besoch ha-shel ha-nasi, it will be within the part of the nasi, ben gvul Yehuda, ben gvul Binyamin, that will be between the portions of Yehuda and Binyamin, la-nasi yir, so Yehuda is up here is Yehuda, and down here is Binyamin, they flank,
Do they have to go through
Yehuda and
Binyamin to get from one side to the next?
No, they could probably walk through, but the thing is that you can't exactly, you're gonna have to manage two separate parts. So
basically the Beis HaMikdash complex, which includes the Leviim, Yerushalayim, etc., is flanked by Yehuda and Binyamin and the Nasi and the Nasi. That's what surrounds the Beis HaMikdash complex.
Do we know where the palace or wherever the Nasi is going to be?
I don't know. I don't know the answer. David HaMelech put his palace right next to the Beis HaMikdash. So I don't know where it's going to be then. But that's the way it divides up. Now, clearly, you understand the message that this sends the Nasi. Right? The Nasi is right in the heart of the Nasi, right smack in the middle of where his portion is the Beis HaMikdash. Clearly, the implication is that the Nasi is meant to flank the Beis HaMikdash, is meant to support and lead us in our serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Beis HaMikdash.
Now, the Nasi is the
Mashiach? Well, if assuming the Nasi is the king, then Mashiach would be the first one.
And he's a regular person.
Mashiach is a human being. He's a human being. He's a human being, flesh and blood.
And he would have a family and children.
He should.
And
he should. He's flesh and blood.
Did we elect the new?
No.
Oh,
no.
One of his children become?
Nothing is elected. Nothing's elected.
How does the next... Is there a Mashiach that lives forever?
I don't believe. Well, look, I don't know. I don't know what happens when Mashiach comes. It's not necessarily the case that people live forever when Mashiach comes. That's not necessarily the case.
So if it's going to be a man with a family,
it would be his son.
It would be one of his sons. Yeah.
Yeah.
The next Mashiach.
Right. That would be the. Right. It would be a monarchy. Right. It would be from David HaMelech. Right.
Unless the Nasi is told by Hashem to appoint someone else.
It can't be, because it has to come from David HaMelech, unless it's another line of David HaMelech. Yeah, that's possible. That is possible. It doesn't have to be directly right. But it has to be from David HaMelech. So he will be flesh and blood, the Mashiach will be flesh and blood, but remember that the Rambam says, as I've told you many times, Mashiach will be second to Moshe Rabbeinu in prophecy, which means he will be a bigger prophet than Yechezkel himself, bigger than Yehoshua, bigger than any of the prophets, more than Eliyahu HaNavi, more than Shmuel HaNavi. He will be the greatest prophet to ever live, except for Moshe Rabbeinu. And he will be a greater Chacham than Shlomo HaMelech. And since Shlomo HaMelech, to date, is the wisest of all men, he will become the wisest of all men, because he will exceed Shlomo HaMelech in Chachma. So even though we're talking about a regular human being, flesh and blood, but we're talking about somebody who, extraordinary person. Okay, now this brings us, if you add in the Pesukim we did before, we're now up to Pasuk Yud, Lamed, verse 30, which takes us very close to the end.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the Donate link. Thank you very much.